Amen. Jesus paid a debt I could not pay. Amen. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians 10. And I did change my subject tonight. So tonight we're going to kind of have a family meeting. It's been a while. And talk about some practical things. This is something we've mentioned. It's been 5 years since I've touched on this. And I do keep up with it. And it's just a practical things we can do to encourage the church. Practical things that we can do to help the church. And so there are 10 things. It's the same 10 we've given before. But I think it's just time. I think this, with the First Impressions supper coming up here in a few minutes, I think it's a good time to kind of catch the whole church up on what's going on. And I hope this will not just be words, but will be a challenge to you, but also an encouragement, and that we continue as a church to want to make a good first impression, a good first impression. Because you never get another chance to make a first impression. It's important. Hospitality of the church is important. And I really do believe, and the staff, we've talked about it, that most of, if not all these successful ministries I know of who are like us, one of the quintessential things about them, one of the things you would say that is what that church does, is hospitality. We think about when you come into Walmart, there's a greeter there, right? Sometimes we have a tendency to make fun of that greeter, and that's not the case. There's a reason why that greeter's there. And our greeters are important. Our ushers are important. Where you serve and what you do is important. Choir, I know, again, the main thing is that we're singing a song unto the Lord and making a joyful noise, but also you are making a first impression. And it's so important that you see that in that light. Sunday school teachers, remembering that, making an impression on those who visit your class, and you may only get one chance. I'll never forget, Brother A.V. Henderson drove up on a Saturday to the church, and I was out working, doing some manual labor, and this Lincoln drives up to the front of the church, and I get over close enough to see who it is, and it's Dr. A.V. Henderson. Some of y'all know who that is. He pastored one of the largest churches in America for 10 years and preached all over the country. And just a tremendous preacher, very well known all across the country. And here he is driving up to our church building, and I look in. He rolls the window down, and he says, "Hey," I said, "Hello, Brother Henderson." He says, "Hey, we're thinking about coming to church in the morning." I said, "Okay." And he kind of gave me an explanation of what was going on and why, and. He said, anyway, the conversation was a good conversation. All I remember is when he drove away, I went to my office and studied a lot harder. I wanted to make a good first impression on Dr. A.V. Henderson. And him and I became good friends, and he spent 5 years with us. And but it is so important. So I hope tonight, again, I don't feel like at all that this is a time waster. I really do hope that you get something out of it tonight and encourage you. How to help the church practically, and really how to help our church services practically. And then just a couple of reminders tonight. Let's read 1 Corinthians 10:31. We'll use this as our springboard. Topical message tonight. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do what? All to the glory of God. Everything we do. And when we use that verse in Colossians where we ought to do it heartily, I love that word, heartily. I like to eat heartily. Heartily. We ought to do everything heartily as unto the Lord. And so we're working together, striving together, laboring together with God. I'm thankful He's there with us, strengthening us, encouraging us, giving the grace we need. But there's some practical things tonight we want to cover. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we cover these practical things, Lord, may You use it to encourage our church family, Lord, to challenge our church family. And Lord, as a good review. And I pray, Lord, that You bless in Jesus' name. Amen. I love our church, don't you? I love our church. As I said just a few weeks ago, I love our church because it still feels like church. And I enjoy sitting down with visitors and explaining to them why we sing the hymns and why we use the King James and why we do the things that we do. I love when people say, well, your church feels like the church I attended when I was a kid. I love that. That's a compliment. And so as we continue to go forward, I want to encourage you in this vein that we want to continue on that same line. I'm thankful that as a church, we are absolutely, our purposes are up on the wall, that we ought to love God and grow together and serve others. And then again, the main purpose, again, reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But practically speaking, there's some things we can do as a church, and it's good to remind her after a few years and COVID is, you know, over and all the things we've gone through in the last few years, is to practically remind you of some things we can do in the services. What can you do in the services to be a blessing, to be a help in the church? Brother Stone, you won't know where this outline came from. Do you remember? Yeah. Number one, say amen. Say amen. I know it's been a while since I've covered this. It's probably before COVID. Say amen. I love it when we have visitors and when we have special speakers. I love it when our special speakers say, man, the congregation's so easy to preach to. That is such a compliment. And I don't think it's just because you do say amen and you do kind of get involved. I think you actually listen. You do actually listen. And you're in tune. But again, as a church family, we never want to lose the shout. There are times in which, especially this morning, when it's cloudy outside and everybody's tired, everybody needs to run a lap. Maybe we need to come like some of these camp meeting preachers and run a lap or two. But we need to be aware that in interaction in the services impacts the service. And of course, there is a line you don't want to cross. And I get that question a lot. Well, if I say amen and I don't want to be a distraction. Well, that is a key. You want to say amen and do so in a way that's not drawing attention to you. You cross the line whenever you get a little too much and people start looking at you. All right, you cross the line. Then we want the attention to go to the Word of God and to the message that's being preached. But don't be coy and just kind of lay back. No, amen, amen, praise the Lord. I know a lot of us say, that's right, that's right. Brother Clark's a good example. There's some men down here at the front. Man, say amen, say amen. But some of you in the back, way back over here, man, say amen, say amen. Oh, the baby's here. Hi, baby. Little Biddle's here. Little Biddle girl. First time in services? Huh? She was here this morning? I didn't see it though, so don't count. Say amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah every once in a while. But be involved. Amen, of course, means I agree, or it means so let it be. And it is scriptural, 1 Chronicles 16:30. After David had brought the Ark of the Covenant to the city of David, he put a place there for the tent to be set up, and they brought the Ark into the tent. Remember, that's the same story where David runs down the street in front of the Ark dancing. By the way, not dancing like slow dancing with some country western music. Dancing in the Bible is not the dancing that you know. But that's him leaping and jumping in front of the ark as it's coming down the street. He takes off his royal garb and he's in his white linen, his undergarment as such back in that day. He's in his white linen and he's running. He's rejoicing that the Ark of the Covenant's come back to Jerusalem and it's going to be put in the tent. And once it's put in the tent, he writes a psalm. And First Chronicles gives you that psalm. And at the end of that psalm, it says this, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever." Then the Bible tells us, and all the people said, amen. Amen. All the people said, amen. We agree. And they praised the Lord, it said, and they praised the Lord. And of course, we know in the New Testament, amen is in nearly every end of every epistle. Amen. Amen. We know that it talks about it there in 1 Corinthians. It talks about that let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, but also speaks about tongues and special gifts that we'd rather that a person come in, if a visitor comes in, that they understand what's going on rather than not understanding what's going on. and that they know that your amen means what it means. In other words, that I agree, as you're saying amen, I agree. Well, how can you agree if you don't know, understand what's going on? If it's just a bunch of jibber-jabber, gobbledygook, you know? And when there's churches that get, again, into the tongue stuff and Suzuki and Yamaha, Mitsubishi, and get into those things, and you can't understand what's going on. It's confusion. God is not the author of confusion. And so as people come in, we want to make sure they are able to understand what's going on, and that you as a congregation say, I agree. Amen. Amen. Right? Some of you need to become amenners. Ladies, Miss Smith, she gets right in there with them. Nothing says in the Bible that you can't say amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe you were raised in a church where that was not the case, but man, just shout it out. And again, say amen, praise the Lord. We just don't want to lose the shout. And sometimes over the last few years, I kind of feel the quietness coming in, and we just don't want to do that. So you as a church member, take it upon yourself to be a part of the amen crowd. And you don't have to say it as loud as some others, whatever you need to do, but amen. Number two, sing out. This is another area. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen? Amen, Brother Reed? I don't like to point John and Brother Reed out, but there are people who have a hard time, who can't sing as well as others. And God hasn't given everyone the gift of a beautiful voice or a great voice, but that's not what the Bible says here. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It doesn't say make a good noise unto the Lord. And it says, make a joyful noise, O Lord. Everybody can sing, right, my dad, right? Amen. Everybody can sing. And when people come in, when visitors come in, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. I, at Heritage Christian Academy, I walk in the back of the chapel as they began their little service on Wednesday, and I do this every Wednesday, and I start singing, and they all look back at me. You know why? Because I'm louder than they are. It's the entire junior high and high school. Come on, guys. Sing out. Make a joyful noise. Raise your voice. Sing out. I know I got a big mouth, but there's some others in here who have bigger. Brother Clay, Brother Ratledge, he left us. I can't even talk about him anymore. Sing out. Colossians 3:16, which we'll cover this here in a few weeks on Wednesday night. It says, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing to the ever, your audience isn't the person sitting next to you. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. But your involvement in singing the hymns and being a part of the congregation is important. Not only to your relationship with God, because you're being commanded to sing. The Bible makes it a command, it's not an option. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. But also it affects those around you, not just the visitors, but everyone else. And you say, well, I can't, just sing. You sing in your car, you know, going to work, sing in the shower, sing out. Number three, shake hands. Again, all these begin with S's. This actually came from Mickey Hollers years and years ago. This outline is like 25 years old. Shake hands, greet others and visitors. 1 Corinthians 16:20 says, greet ye one another with a holy kiss. And of course you go, yeah, I'm not doing that. But that was the Jewish custom, right? And our custom is to shake hands. It's the same thing, right? It's the same thing as far as the way in which it's seen and the way in which it's involved. So we don't do the kiss on each other's cheek and stuff like that, but we shake hands. So again, shake hands, be friendly, greet people, greet one another. Look for visitors. Go out of your way. And I appreciate those as we walk around on Sunday morning. Go out of your way to find those who are not moving. And shake their hands and greet them and just be welcoming to them. Go out of your way. Miss Judy Hale is a good example of this. And there's many others in our church are good examples of this. And then, greet those who may not look like you. And that's so important. I'm thankful God loves everybody. And that God is no respecter of persons, and go out of your way. Learn the names of those in your section. You say, well, I don't know nobody. Well, have you asked their names? Have you asked? Ask their names. You say, well, I feel weird because I've already asked like 75 times. That's fine. I have too. Keep asking. You might use a phrase like, good morning, have we met before? If you're scared, that's a good safe way to do it. Good morning, have we met before? Good evening, have we met before? And a lot of you come to me and say, preacher, I was greeting people and I didn't know they were members, you know? Well, that's fine. We're not going to know every member's name or every member who isn't a member. We have some good, faithful visitors. I mean, some that have been here a long time. And so thankful for that. But being hospitable, being kind, being Texan. We talked about that a few months ago, being Texan. Texans are friendly. We're just friendly. You drive down the highway, you wave at people. If they wave at you, you wave back. If somebody says hi to you, you say howdy back. Howdy. Be kind. Be gracious. Be hospitable. And again, our church does a good job of this. Just a reminder, don't tell someone they got your seat. I know we laugh about that, but if you were to walk up to a visitor and say, hey, you got my seat, that is terrible. What if that person's lost? You're responsible for that person maybe never have accepted Christ as a Savior. You want that responsibility on your head? You want that responsibility on you? You know, we laugh about it. And it is laughable. And everybody, generally speaking, sits in the same spots, which I enjoy as a preacher. I like being able to look out, and I know they pretty well sit in this spot. And when the cushions move all the way around everywhere, it bugs the tar out of me. But, you know, if you sit pretty well in the same spot, then it helps me when I'm preaching. But we want to be very careful, too. And I love how one year we took a chair or two up here and auctioned them off and just try to make it light of it. But be careful about that and be hospitable. All the way from the parking lot to the pew, people need to know and be welcome. And then number four, smile. Be friendly. I'm not talking about a forced. You say, well, the preacher told me to smile. I grimace. Some of y'all have caught me grimacing. It's one of my tics that I have. You catch me. My dad's tried to when I was a kid to break me of it. I still do it from time to time. And I've asked my wife sometimes, say, please tell me when I'm grimacing. You know, I'm doing that. It's got to be annoying to y'all. Now all of y'all are going to look for it. I've never seen him do that. But I don't have a tick like this. I have a grimace tick. But I'd rather be a smile than a frown, right? But smile. We ought to be the happiest people on earth. And man, we're children of God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Heaven's our home. We've escaped hell. Amen, right? And so we ought to be happy people. And again, we always, and I'm not saying you have to, there's times in which everybody has a bad week and a bad day and so forth and so on. And you certainly don't have to come in here and fake it till you make it. You know, just be aware that your attitude, which we choose, is important when it comes to the work of the Lord and the church when you attend church here. So we ought to display that friendliness to others, smile, and we should make others feel welcome, both members and visitors. Number five, start to the altar on the first verse. This is an area since COVID that really has impacted me. And I'm thankful there's some who come to the altar. I love it when Miss Clem, when she steps up and comes down to the altar, 90 years old, coming down here to kneel. And, you know, everybody ought to have a time and place. But I'm telling you, there's nothing more special than coming to the altar. It's just a special place. What is an altar? It's a place to die. It's a place to sacrifice. It's to come and to kneel before the Lord and to die to self. And so I encourage you, if it's been a while since you've been to the altar, I don't say you have to do it because I've said you ought to do it. But if God prompts your heart, if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, you say, I could pray in my chair, and maybe you have a physical thing that you can't come down, but I encourage you to do so, because not only should you do that, but also it's an encouragement to others who might make a move as well. Again, emphasizing that altar call, emphasizing the altar at the end and the altar special. And by the way, it's a place you can come get counsel and encouragement. If you want somebody to pray with you, just point at me. Say, hey, I need somebody to pray with me. And generally speaking, there's always some here at the front, men and women, who would pray with you. And I want to encourage you again. This is a long time. It's been a long time since I've said this. When we have big days, when we have, you know, First Responder Sunday, when we have Friend Day, when we have Anniversary Sunday, and some of those Sundays, some of you ought to just say, you know what, I'm going to the altar. I don't care if the preaching's bad or not. Because coming to the altar might encourage somebody who isn't saved to come on. That if there's nobody here at the altar, and they're the only ones. Just kind of think through that a little bit. Think about that if you would, and pray about that. And maybe you have stopped coming to the altar, and there are reasons for all of those things. Encourage you to come to the altar. I'm thankful we still have an altar call. Right? A lot of churches have stopped doing them, but we're going to continue to do that. But if we're going to continue to do it, it means somebody ought to come to the altar. Encourage you to do that. Number six, stop what you're doing and go to church. I preached on that this morning a little bit. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much more as you see the day approaching. So again, encouraging that we be at church, that we're here, arriving early, Sunday school classes. What in the world? If you had Super Bowl tickets tonight, you would have arrived early, you know. Arrive early, be there, be enthusiastic about what's going on here at the church, and get here. And I don't have to, you're here, so I'm gonna get off that point. Stop what you're doing and go to church. Number seven, sit down front. Oh, man. This is the same, I'm telling you, this is the same outline I've used since we've started the church. It's nothing new right here. Sit down front. When we filled up the auditorium behind us, I had to go to the deacons and say, listen, the finance team, I had to, listen, we have no room for people to sit. I'm voluntolding you to sit on the front row. And we had several of you, I think the Clarks, and there were several families who came and sat on the front row. It's one of the most neglected areas, you know. But sit down front.
Amen. Amen.
Sit down front. Leave the back for visitors. Come down here on spit row, right? Especially when those preachers get going. They get that white stuff on the side. It's awesome. Just get down here and amen them to death. Say, well, I'll talk about the crowd that needs to be in the back because of kids. And that is important. If you have to get up, if you need to get up often, sit at the back. Right? Sit down front. And this will go along with what I was just saying. Stop talking. Number eight, stop talking. Don't be a distraction. Don't be a distraction. Honestly, don't be a distraction. It could influence somebody. I mean, it really could impact somebody that they don't hear the gospel. They're so distracted. Again, you got little ones, and I know we have several here in the auditorium. You guys have done a great job. Sit towards the back. When they act up, you take them out. You take care of it. You bring them back in. You say, should you bring them back in? Yes. If you only take them out and you never bring them back in, they'll know that they can act up and go out. But they won't, you know. No, bring them back in. You say, well, I had to take them out again. That's fine. I don't notice it. I promise you. I'm oblivious. My wife will go, did you see that? Or did you see? No, I didn't see it. No idea what you're talking about. I preached at nursing homes for so long. It doesn't bother me. Maybe as I get older, it will, but it just doesn't bother me. But encourage you, don't be a distraction. If you have to get up, I don't know why any teenager would have to ever get up. Next teenager gets up, I'm going to do what my dad used to do whenever we were in church. You got up in church, you got called out by the preacher right there. Now you're scared. I don't know why parents would let their kids go to the restroom during a service. I don't get that. We didn't let our kids do it. Again, if you've got little ones and they have to, I get that one. I'm not saying that if you got a three-year-old and they need to go to the restroom, run. Don't want them making a mess in the auditorium, right? But listen, if you have a 10, 8 or 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old, I'm just speaking down here, right? I don't know why you, yeah. Oh, take them to the restroom. If they're 10 years old and they need to go to the restroom, let them go. And then afterwards, take care of it. Say that'll never happen again. Okay. I'm getting the flesh. I can feel it when it starts prickling up. Stop talking. Don't be a distraction. Be careful. Again, it impacts the service. I'm thankful we are in a church. I would never call anybody out. I would not do that. And most of the time, again, I'm oblivious. If you get up and go, I normally don't notice it. But others will. We want to be so careful. While we're on that subject, let's be real careful about bringing things, drinks into the auditorium other than water. We've had some stains in here and some other things, and be careful about that if you would. Help us out with that. That was my side note. But again, stop talking. Sit towards the back. Number 9, stay afterwards in fellowship. There's a lot of you, I shouldn't even mention this. Because literally, we have to blink the lights. And I'm thankful there's a group of you, several groups of you, that we've just taught you how to close up yourself. Right? No, that is awesome. That's the way it ought to be. It ought to be that way. And I would just say to you, I've had people say, well, I just don't know nobody. Well, have you tried? You know, approach somebody after church and get to know people and just spend some time. We're not in a hurry around here. You can stay as long as you want out in the park. No, I'm just kidding. You can stay as long as you want. Fellowship together. Spend time together. It's important. Stay afterwards. Fellowship. Invite someone to lunch. Invite someone to supper. My wife and I have been doing that now for a couple of years. Once a month at least, we take somebody to lunch on Sunday afternoons. We took the Wright family out today, one of our visiting families, and spent some time with them. Just fellowshipping, not necessarily with an agenda, just fellowshipping and having a good time. And then we have been doing that with church members, again, for about the last, since COVID's been over, taking that opportunity. So invite somebody to lunch. Again, just staying afterwards, fellowshipping together. And then lastly, support the work of the Lord. And this would have to do with finances and being giving consistently, giving. The Bible says the Lord loves a what? A cheerful giver. To support the work of the Lord, and then to give as unto the Lord, and to invest in eternity. I want to encourage you parents, too, to teach your kids to give. Maybe this is an area where I didn't do as good a job as I probably should have. And one of the things I didn't do that I probably should have done was kind of give our kids an idea of how much we give and according to what we make. And our kids didn't have a clue. And then as they gotten older, Micah's shaking his head like this. As they've gotten older, we said, hey, here's what mom and dad do, you know. And sometimes they, whoa, okay, we don't just give 10%. You know, we give 10% plus an offering, plus the building fund, plus the missions fund, plus the youth fund. And then when special conferences happen, and I didn't really push while Brother Weatherby was here, but my wife and I did give something towards Brother Weatherby when he was here. We just want to be a part. We want to invest in eternity and just jump in and get involved. You can never outgive God. And God will bless you. Now, he's not going to give you, again, $10,000 for every $100 you give. That is not found in the Bible. I don't care what TV evangelists you've been listening to. God never promises you. But God does promise that if you will give, and that's not just your money, but giving of your time, investing. I think about Brother Brandon and Miss Schuler and some others and all helping with keeping kids during choir and all the things that go on that sometimes some of you never see any of it. But the investment that's being made in eternity. Their time, spending a little time helping and doing. Children's church workers and nursery workers, I would never. And I said the other day about the Biddles and Bailey and Jeremiah working with those 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. I would pull out the rest of my hair. But I'm thankful for them to serve and to do and to teach and do in those areas, and that God's going to bless that. So, again, just getting involved and investing in the church. Supporting the work of the church with your time and your treasure and your talent. I appreciate we've had some men and women come onto the choir and just get involved somewhere. Many times you will not feel like you're a part and you belong in the church. Many times is because you're not involved somewhere. It's amazing to me how when someone finally does jump in and get involved in anywhere, that you meet a person or two or three or four. Some of you men who've come out, and even the ladies who come out and help set up the Fall Fest, and you spend all day setting up that work. You spend all day setting up the Walk Through Bethlehem. You spend some time with some men and women. You'll get to know them as we serve together and working in the ministry. What we do and our attitude and our demeanor, our participation, it all matters in the work of the Lord. It matters not only to those around you, but it does matter to you. It impacts your life. You benefit from it here and in eternity. Encourage us. Say amen. Let's practice. Just say amen. Ready? One, two, three.
Amen.
See, that's awesome. That's great. Amen. Amen to the amen. Praise the Lord. Say amen. Say that's right. Or again, I just don't want to see our church lose the shout. It's been a while since I've said that from the pulpit. And I just want to remind you, you determine the temperature. You do. You determine the temperature of any service. The preacher can turn it on. I mean, he can get going, and whether it's me or Brother Stone or Brother Wiggins, whomever is here preaching, Brother Weatherby, soon it's going to be Brother Stewart. I don't know if Brother Stewart needs any help, but you determine the temperature. And engaging as the preaching's going on, not only will it encourage the preacher, but it encourages people around you. It encourages them. I remind you that we don't clap for specials for the most part, unless it's kids. If we have kids up here, you can clap, stand, whatever, you stand on your head. For the most part, they don't understand the biblical reason why we don't clap. Man, let's encourage them, right? The biblical reason why we don't clap is because, again, you're not the audience, the Lord is. And again, the special singer should be trying to draw attention from themselves, not to themselves. And so, but again, having that part and saying amen after a song and after a special is part of that. So after the music is done, after Brother Shooter and Miss Linda and Miss Peterson, after they sang such a great song tonight, is amen. Amen, right? Amen. Say it loud. Amen. Yeah, good. I appreciate Brother Stone. Amen. This has gotten out of hand. Practical help tonight. Again, I know not a normal message tonight, but practically help. Practically help the church services. This is good for our Norris students in the seminary, and Brother Noah and so many others to hear that. Practically speaking, this is how we participate in the service. Here's what's expected, and here's what's an encouragement, and how we can be an encouragement to others around us. And again, it's not just about encouraging those around you. It affects you. It affects you. And being a part. And somebody has said to me, I think it was today, I don't remember, but, you know, I'm thankful I don't have to get up here and tell jokes because I can't tell them. I stink at it. If we're relying upon me to set the temperature at the beginning, it's not going to go, you know, it's just not going to fly most of the time. I can't tell a joke. Most of the time I try to find something I can cut up about. I am not a dignified pastor. If you want a dignified pastor, you got to go somewhere else. But at the same time, understanding that the temperature, not the room temperature, but the temperature spiritually matters. And setting the tone. And you have a great part in that. And I'm thankful for a church. Again, every special speaker that comes to our church says, that is the easiest church I've ever preached to. Nearly every one of them will say that. They are always complimentary of you. But let's don't lose it. Let's never lose. Don't lose the shout. And then participating in that. Let's all stand. Have a verse of invitation. Hymn 163 is